Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. We're all familiar with the personality characteristics of the Apostle Peter. He's the brash one, the bold one, the one who so oftentimes speaks out spontaneously, sometimes hastily, the one whose mouth sometimes seems to be running faster than his head. Sometimes Peter is held up as an example of a theology of glory. And here, this night, as our Lord warned the disciples that they would soon all abandon him, Peter said, "No, sir, not me. Never, Lord. Even if everyone abandons you, I will never leave you. I will always remain faithfully by your side, even if I have to die with you." But I think there's something more here than simply Peter's personality characteristics. There's something more here than simply Peter's overconfident personality, because we see here how this arrogance and even this self-righteousness, because that is what is evident here, the deepest of sins, self-righteousness is what is at work here. And we see how it finds its way into the thought patterns of the followers of Jesus. And you know something? This little example here is not only something that has to do with Peter. Because remember, the final verse of our text says, "And all the disciples said the same." In other words, this overconfidence is not the domain only of certain people, like Saint Peter, but this attitude can find its way into your heart and mind and into my heart and mind, just as it found its way into the hearts and the minds of those disciples 2,000 years ago in today's reading. Now, on the one hand, I suppose we can excuse the disciples. After all, they really didn't know what they were saying. They didn't have all of the information that we have today. After all, this was before Christ's death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. They didn't know about all of that yet. They really didn't know what they were saying. But I think that it really doesn't matter if it was then or now, even after we have all of the information more clearly revealed to us, after we know exactly how God carried out his plan of salvation, after we know what Christ has done for us, after we have the power of the glorious resurrection that we celebrate this season, after we know that our sins are forgiven, and that forgiveness comes to us by grace through faith, after we know all of that very clearly, yet this attitude can rear its ugly head. And when it does so, it can threaten to rob us of the joy and the assurance and the peace that is ours through the gospel. Because when we follow the path of arrogance and self-confidence, we are setting ourselves up for a big, big fall. Look what happened to Peter and the rest. Just a few verses later in this very same chapter, they came to arrest Jesus. And Peter pulls out his sword and actually cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He wants to usher in God's kingdom by force. He thinks the sword is the way to do this. And when Jesus reprimands him and tells him to put away his sword, tells him that the kingdom of God does not come by means of the sword, that those who take up the sword will die by the sword. Well, Peter and all of the other theologians of glory just don't get it, and they take off running, and they leave Jesus standing there by himself in front of those who had come to arrest him. How quickly all of their arrogance, all of their boastfulness, all of their self-righteousness, how it all evaporated just like that. And they became terrified, and they fled. And we all know eventually what happened to Peter, of course, who was there in the court where Jesus was being interrogated, and people asked him, "Aren't you one who knows that man? Aren't you a follower of Jesus?" And he even called down curses on himself. And he said, "I do not know the man." Notice how quickly all of that self-confidence can turn into unfaithfulness and total betrayal so very quickly. And yet, the beauty of this whole story is that our Lord did not abandon his disciples. In spite of the fact that they all had abandoned him, our Lord did not give up on them. As Paul wrote many years later, speaking of the children of Israel, their lack of faith does not nullify God's faithfulness. And soon, as we have heard in Matthew chapter 28 today, and soon Jesus would call those disciples back together up on that mountain in Galilee, those very same men who had abandoned him, who had left him there all by himself, soon he would call them all back together again, and he would send them out. He would call them and send them out to be his ambassadors, to spread the good news of the forgiveness and the life that we have in Christ Jesus, to spread that news to the far corners of the earth. Some of you have recently received your vicarage assignments. Others, perhaps deaconess internships. Perhaps your first call into the ministry. Dr. Wenthe is known to say at this time of year that you can almost see before your very eyes, as men receive their first calls, you can almost see them being transformed from theologians of the cross into theologians of glory. We won't say anything about Josh Schneider. Oh, I guess I just did. I'm sure he's getting tired of that. Well, I hope that's really not true. But in reality, I think it is something that we can all fall temptation to. On the one hand, armed with our new calls and our new positions, we can think that we are going to usher in God's kingdom by force. That by coercion, we'll be able to get people to think like we think and get people to do like we think they should do. We may think, just like Peter, that we can take up the sword and force people. And you can read by the sword anything you want, but I think any time you use coercion instead of the word of the gospel, you're really using a sword. In a sense, it's a taking up of the sword. But on the other hand, another manifestation of the theology of glory is when we let the problems of our lives and our ministries rob us of all of the joy and the assurance and the peace and the power of the gospel. That also is a theology of the glory, because we lose sight of the fact that Christ has all things in his hands. We lose sight of the fact that Christ has done all things for us, that Christ has earned for us our complete and full forgiveness and our life and our eternal salvation, that he has the entire church in his hands, and that he has even promised to work all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. When we forget all of that, also we are succumbing to a theology of glory. Sometimes I think that we can get so self-absorbed in talking about all of the sacrifices and all of the persecution and the toughness of the ministry that we can even find ourselves giving in to a theology of glory. And that we think that the theology of the cross means that we must walk around all grave and serious and stern. Now, do Christ's people, especially his ministers, face hardship and trouble because of their calling? Of course. That's made abundantly clear in God's word. Jesus said even to his disciples that the hour is coming when those who kill you think they are offering a service to God. And you may run into people who, by trying to destroy your ministry, may think that they are offering a service to God. But the point is that the gospel gives us power to experience joy and to experience peace and assurance and confidence, true confidence that comes from the gospel, even when the frustrations and the problems come our way. That confidence, that true confidence, not self-confidence, but confidence in Christ Jesus, can be ours because we know that we are who we are and that we do what we do by the forgiveness and by the grace of God. As soon as we begin to think that it's about us, then we are putting ourselves up to fall just as quickly and as violently as Peter and the rest of the disciples did. But when we remember that it is God who calls us according to his purpose, who has brought us into his kingdom by the washing of the water, through baptism, that he has given us all things through his death on the cross and his resurrection, who it is God who sends us to be lights to the nations, then all arrogance and self-righteousness is swept to the side, and we can have true confidence and true righteousness. And we can be faithful and joyful in our service, knowing that even our unfaithfulness will not nullify the faithfulness of God, who has called us according to his purpose to be his children. In Jesus' name, amen.